shining the light of your glory. Oh. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Holy, sing.
Holy,
oh,
holy,
sing it to him now.
Holy. Oh, I want to see you. I want
to see you high, lifted up, Brother Harry.
I want to see you high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. Oh, I want to see you. I want today, I want to see you.
Hallelujah. If you don't mind to remain standing with me just for a minute as we look at our prayer request. Brother Amos Cutts wants us to remember him in prayer as he, the service is there, and I believe it's in South Africa that he went to. So we certainly want to remember Brother Amos. Also, Brother David Seiler, over there ministering in some part of South Africa. So we certainly want to remember our brothers, Brother Joe Harris, and some of the brothers are going to be going to New York. I believe it's next weekend to minister for Brother Robert Marrero, and they're asking that we would just pray that God would give them some good services up in New York. So we want to remember all these needs this morning. Lincoln Keith platelets are down 24,000. The third type of treatment failed. We'll be trying a fourth type next week. Brenda Jones sends that in for us to remember that prayer request. Sister Sharon Bentley in the hospital in West Virginia. Her white blood count is critically low. She has to go to Cleveland Clinic next week for surgery and is in need of a miracle. So we'll just commit that unto the Lord this morning. Brother Barclay wants us to remember his mother in prayer, having digestive problems. Also, her eyes are bothering her quite a bit, so we want to remember those needs this morning. Our young people that will be coming back home probably tonight sometime in the morning, let's pray for their safety, that God would grant them traveling mercies, and all those that are traveling on the highways this weekend, different places, parts of the world, that God would be merciful. Isn't it good to be a Christian this morning? Aren't you glad you're forgiven, set free, been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Are you glad about it this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, Brother Daniel, if you'll come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer. Invite his presence into this service. Before he gets here, turn around, shake somebody's hand, tell him you're glad to see him in the house of God today. Amen. Play something, brethren, if you will, softly this morning.
It's good to be back in God's house this morning, isn't it? Amen, Brother Darrell, preacher. Real sermon here last night. You weren't here. It sure thrilled my soul. I don't know about anybody else. Amen. This morning it's Easter. Oh my, it's a time when we celebrate the resurrection of the dead, where Jesus came back to life again. And because he lives, we live also. Amen. Let's take these needs to God in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be in this service today. God, this side of Calvary, knowing, Heavenly Father, that without you there is no hope. Heavenly Father, we commit everything unto you this morning. God, we just thank you for everything you mean to us. God, we pray for our brothers that's on the mission field this morning, those in Africa, those that's getting ready to go. God, I pray that your hand will be with them. We pray for our pastor, Brother Donnie. God, that you'll be with him and that you'll bless him, Lord Jesus. We pray for our young people, God. Heavenly Father, we pray that during this time of refreshing, God, that they'll get something from God, Lord, that will go with them the rest of their life. Heavenly Father, we pray for this service this morning. We pray in the name of Jesus that you move for us. God, we bring our petitions, our requests before your throne. God, you hear each name as they was called out. Heavenly Father, I pray that you just move by your power, that your Holy Ghost will come down upon them. God, we pray that you bless this service, bless this congregation. Help us, oh God, to live such a life that people will see you in us wherever we go. God, we commit this service into your hands. Bless every part of the service. Be with those over the internet. God, in the fellowship hall and nurseries, keep us in your will. We'll give you the praise. Bless Brother Darrell today, God. Touch his body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Trust you'll just receive a blessing. Those that are streaming, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing this chorus just before we have our congregational song this morning. I'm glad I know that my Redeemer lives. Are you glad about that this morning? Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry that I know my Redeemer lives. Oh, yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives.
Let all creation testify. Let his life within me cry.
Hallelujah.
I know
I'll see what
my Redeemer
is. Aren't you glad he's alive today? Oh, I know my Redeemer lives.
I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation
testify.
Let his life within me cry.
That I know
my Redeemer.
I'm glad he lives today. 2012, my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know. I know he lives.
I know
he lives.
My Redeemer lives.
Aren't you glad about it?
Let all creation testify.
Let
his life within me cry. I know my Redeemer lives.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing a song this morning. There's no one greater than Jesus. And I'm glad I can realize that this morning. Aren't you, Brother Terry? There's no one greater than Jesus. A bunch of us kind of look alike this morning, and from the neck down. The only thing about mine and his is he's still making payments. Mine's old. It's been paid for a while. I think his come from Goodwill. And I don't know where the rest of you got your get up. But it's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's Easter. He is alive. It's not about what kind of suit you've got on or dress you've got on, but it's about that King that lives in your heart. Aren't you glad He's alive today? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. I know we've got visitors here this morning. I know that. And some of you've got your family that are visiting here from different places. And I just want to say that I'm so very thankful to have my family, my whole family, even Blair, in the service with us today. And I certainly want to thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Father. Amen. Let's sing this song. Ain't nobody can sing it like you, even if you still do owe on your suit, buddy. God bless you. Sing it for us this morning.
I'm glad we got the kind of religion that'll make a seersucker suit, rub shoulders, and shake hands with a man in pair coveralls.
That's right, buddy.
I was so bound up. My life was so tied up. No peace within. Chains could not hold me.
Amen.
Confused, so lonely.
Oh, yes.
So shackled with sin. Sun was burning down.
I'm sorry.
Compassion were piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long.
Oh, yes.
But my morning has broken. I'll sing victory song. Talk of conversation.
Oh, yes.
For my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. In at noonday, when the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment. From my lifestyle so bad, there was Messiah sitting on the rail. My story of life He began to tell. I've forgiven you, Samaritan.
That second verse one more time for us.
Hated, rejected by my neighbors, detested. I
had no peace within. I was the talk of conversation for my multiple relations, so shackled with sin. Then at noonday, as the sun was burning down, I hid my face from embarrassment, for my lifestyle so bad. But there was Messiah sitting on the well. My story.
God bless you. You can be seated this morning. We're going to have a song. I don't know how special it'll be, but we're going to have a song this morning. Brother Lenny and Brother Kenneth, myself, we're going to try to sing a song for you. Lenny requested this, so I guess we'll try to sing it this morning. Behold the Lamb. May God help us to behold that Lamb in our life today. You know, Brother Darrell preached such a tremendous message last night. Where were you? Brother Terry, if that ever becomes a revelation, where we were and where we're going back to. Everything we go through in between, it's worth it. We still get the best deal, don't we? Amen. Hope this song will bless you this morning. We try to sing it. We was over in the fellowship hall trying to practice it a while ago. And somebody said, we thought you was over there fighting. That sounded so bad. Brother Gene, I think, said that. Is this gray one on? It's on. Okay.
Not the blue one. The louder. What color is it?
Move that man with the cross on his shoulder, struggling now beneath the head below. Is there no one to relieve him of his burden? Is he tired? Is he bleeding? Is he crying? Struggling now to climb Calvary's hill. They are mocking his name and casting lots. The earth has darkened, the leaves now stand still. Behold.
his precious body to that old cross now. Is that a soldier I see piercing his side? I hear him asking, Father, please, please forgive me. This is God's Son, whom the world.
Let's stand, if you will. Time to go on into the service today. I know you're going to enjoy Brother Darrell's message today. We want to pray that the Lord will give our brother strength in his body. He's not feeling the best in the world, but the Lord has certainly used him greatly last night. And we just pray that the Lord would bless him again today. Brother Harry, let's sing, It's Jesus I Really Want to See. If you'd lead us in that this morning as Brother Darrell gets ready to come bring us the message today.
It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. The more I see of this world, the less it means to me, and it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, it's Jesus.
I really want to see. If there's ever a people on the earth that could testify of seeing Christ in their day, it's us. We're the only age that God Himself came down and had His picture took with us. We're the only age that got a Kodak moment. Amen. So wonderful to be loved, isn't it? You know, some of the greatest words you'll ever hear anyone say is that they love you. I don't care how big you are and how hairy your arm is, everybody likes to feel loved. Amen. And to know that while we was yet sinners, Christ died for us. As we sing that song, you know, sometimes I think we just sing it so much, maybe it gets common, but when you think about it, I love Him because He first loved me. Who was so unlovable. We was a mess. An absolute mess. But He looked beyond all that and loved us anyway. Isn't it wonderful? If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with us to 1 Timothy 1:18. It's what we read last night. And also we want to read from John chapter 13, verse 1. Thank you, buddy. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We count it an honor to be able to stand before you once again. Amen. After the past few days, we're just glad to be standing, period. Amen. I tell you, there's nothing more humble than crawling on your hands and knees. Man, I tell you, that back stuff, that's rough. That's real rough, but I do feel better today, you know, just the pain, you know, it's your left leg and then it's your right leg and then it's your hip and then it's your thigh and then it's just everywhere and then it's nowhere. But we're going to get better. And so we're just, amen. We're just trusting today. You know, I just kept all week. I thought if I can just get in the pulpit and preach and get under the anointing, maybe I can get healed. If I can share something with you, I won't keep you, but just come to my mind. You know, I lost my mother a few years ago. She was a good woman. Of course, I guess everybody feels that way about their mama, but my mama really was a good woman. Yes. And after mom died, you know, I really went through a depression. I got so depressed that I just, to the point I didn't even want to get out of bed. And I would go and I would preach and I'd pray for people and see them get healed and, you know, and even, you know, shout, dance in the spirit and go back to the hotel room. But I'd be so lonely and so depressed. And, you know, and like I told you last night, I guess it's just a complex, but I always feel like maybe I bother people, you know, or something. And so I tried to keep it to myself. But finally, I was sitting in the study with Brother Donnie. And I told him, Brother Donnie, I need help. I said, I'm just so depressed. And I just opened my heart to him, you know. And I said, just, I know you got 600 and some people to take care of, but could you just remember me and just help me pray, you know. And so I'll never forget, it was on a Wednesday. And that night, Brother Donnie come out and preached. And he asked me to come up and pray for the people. And I thought, I'm the one he's praying for. That's just the way I felt. But I come up here and I begin to pray. And the anointing came upon me. And God delivered me of that depression. That's the God's truth. It just left me. It's never come back like that. And I was thinking, you know, if I could just get in this pulpit and get under that anointing, He's still God, friends. He can do it again. Amen. And maybe it'll get off of me and get on you and we'll all go home well. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. If you have your Bibles now, let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And then also we'll just read from St. John chapter 13, verse 1. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So we're seeing here that Paul is telling Timothy, take the word concerning you and use that word to war a good warfare against your enemy. When the devil says you can't make it, tell him the word says you've already made it. When the devil says you can't be well, tell him the word says I'm already well. When the devil tells you you're a failure, take the word and tell him, I am a son of God. And war a good warfare. Amen. Now let's look at St. John 13, verse 1. Now we want to carry this thought that we looked at last night on warfare and how Satan's desire is to exalt his thoughts above the word of God. And then we looked at how that God in this hour has opened to us the revelation and has actually, you know, Moses went back to the beginning, but actually God in this hour allowed the prophet to go all the way back into the back part of his mind and share with us God's thoughts concerning us. Amen. And so we want to continue that this morning and look at it in light of Easter, if the Lord will help us. Now, St. John 13, 1, let's read this. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. In other words, when Jesus knew it was time to die. That he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have within our hearts this day. Thank you, dear God, for the promise of the Holy Ghost. And you said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you a comforter. And Lord, I pray this morning, may I not be a hindrance, Lord. May I just relax, God, that you could come and speak to your children and make the word real, we pray. Bless the needy, Lord. Bless those less fortunate than we are, God. And I pray, Lord, on this resurrection morning, may each person here, Lord, those that are not able to be here, Lord, may they have their miracle this day. And I pray, oh God, may we leave this building with our hearts burning within us. But we ask these things in Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Now I want to just background just a second and bring this quote in to bring in what we was looking at last night so that you would be on this thought that we want to try to project to you this morning, if the Lord will help me. Brother Ben said, what I would think tonight, Lord, let us look past the curtain of time. Just look over just a little peek and see what it's all about. We are fighting here tonight a great warfare. Right against wrong. The word of God against modern theology. And trying to make the word of God and bring it to the people while the enemy would try to beset it in any way that he can. So then we realize, according to the prophet, that we are in this building this morning in a warfare. And as I said last night, you know, we think of warfare and bullets flying and blood flying and heads flying and arms flying. But the warfare we're fighting this morning is not exactly that kind of a warfare. But what we are facing here this morning is an enemy who has come in among us to try to discredit God's word from us. He doesn't care so much if you hear the word as long as you don't believe what you hear. As long as he can get you to believe that that word is for Brother Gene and that word is for Brother Jim, but there is no word for you, he will disarm you. So then we are seeing here this morning that there is a great warfare that is taking place. And that warfare, Brother Brandon said, the battleground is in our mind. And no doubt this morning the devil has already tried to tell us he'll preach all day and the ham will burn. I will not preach all day, I promise you. I'm not able. But he'll try to tell us we left the coffee pot on. Or he'll do anything he can to keep us from getting into the word. Well, you better not amen. If you start amening, then he will get excited. He'll do anything he can. We are fighting here a great warfare. Amen. Now, I want you to know that every man that ever walked upon the earth has faced this kind of warfare. Every young person here, every girl, every mother, every father here has faced this kind of warfare. There are many people not here this morning in this service because they let Satan tell them they couldn't come. And they took that thought over God's word that says we should assemble ourselves together even more so as we see the hour approaching. Amen. So then we see here this morning that Satan would love nothing more than this Easter service to be flat. But I have come this morning to fight. I have come to take the word of God and overcome my enemy, not by emotion, not by sensation, but by the word of God. Amen. Amen. Now listen here. Let me just read this scripture to you as we go on in to what we want to look at this morning. I picked this up in Mark chapter 14. And we'll just read it to save time. They came to a place called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I pray. Now, as I told you, every man, woman, boy and girl faces this kind of warfare. Even Jesus. Even Jesus had to take what the word said about him, even over his own feelings. Just like we must do. Now watch. Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy. And he saith unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. So here we see, within the passing of this hour, there will be a warfare that will take place. And the decision that Jesus makes during this time will determine whether you and I will be redeemed. If he does not wrestle this out. There is no healing for us. There is no joy for us. There is no peace for us. There is no resurrection for us. So here we see, we think about an hour. You know, he said, well, service here this morning, it'll last about an hour, hour, 5 minutes. He'll probably preach maybe an hour and 15 minutes. So we know, but I want you to understand what he had to face within this hour. Within this hour, Brother Terry, this 60 minutes of time, what he must wrestle out. He fell on the ground and prayed. You know, in the Jewish custom, when they prayed, many of them, they never knelt to pray. Most of them stood and prayed with their eyes open. But here Jesus, not standing in the garden, but he actually fell upon the ground and prayed. If it were possible that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping. And he said unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Could thou not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And when he returned, they were sleeping in church once again. He found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither wished they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and said unto them, sleep on. Sleep on. Take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Now, Brother Branham says this in the message, Perfect Faith. I'm just laying out a few things. We'll bring it together. But man said, Jesus had faith. Now, how many believes he did? Amen. But what did he have faith in? How many's got eternal life this morning? Amen. Well, what do you have? What is it? Well, I've got eternal life. Oh, I've got faith. Oh, I believe. Believe what? Oh, we say, we believe the word. It's a lot. It's a big, broad statement, ain't it? God thought it. The prophet spoke it. I believe it. Yeah, right. But Brother Branham said, Jesus had faith. Then he answers the question. He says, faith in what? Faith in that he was God's son. See? All right, he says. Jesus had faith. Faith in what? Faith in that he was God's son. Now the only thing you have to do is have faith. Faith in what? The only thing you have to do is have faith. Faith in what you are. Faith in what the Word says you are. Jesus had faith in the Word of God that said He was. Jesus had faith in the Word of God that said He was God's Son. That's why He said, it is written of me. He knew He was that one that the prophets wrote about. He knew He was that one that Isaiah spoke about, that Moses spoke about. He knew He was that one. Now, Brother Bev said, all we must do, all we have to do is have faith in what the Word says we are. Not what the Word says Brother Branham is. Not what the Word said Moses is. But what the Word says I am. Then somewhere in the pages of this Bible, there's writings of me. I am not an appendage. I am not something that's attached to the outside of the Word. I'm not a parasite that's hanging on. I'm not something that's grafted in. I am a part of the Word. And the prophet said, I must believe what the Word says I am. Therefore, Brother Gene, in this Bible, I must find my identity. Not emotion, not sensation, not a guitar, not running the aisle, not a goosebump, but thus saith the Word of God. The only thing I have to do, Brother Terry, the only thing I have to do is have faith in what the Word says I am. If I this morning can believe what my Father has said about me. If I can believe, according to the message of the hour, that I was in God's thinking before there was ever a molecule. If I can understand this morning that I am a part of God. If I can understand this morning that Brother Branham said there is only one form of eternal life, and that is you. If I can understand that this morning, my problems, my troubles, my trials, my tests will be nothing, because I realize there is no back pain, there is no sorrow, there is no cancer, there is nothing that's able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Yet faith. Jesus had faith that He was a Son of God. He believed, Brother Terry. He believed what the Word said He was. That's why He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it. That's why He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works I do, for they testify that I am who the Word says I am. Glory to God. I can speak in tongues right now. Because you see, friends, we are coming to something more than a Pentecostal emotion. More than a goosebump. Well, Lord, we had church because somebody screamed. They scream at ball games. It's not that. Whether anybody screams or not. Whether the wind blows or not. It's not what it is. It's the reality, Brother Jim, of the opening of the Word. That the third pull has been manifested in me. That I am this Word made flesh. The most amazing thing about it is that Word made flesh. It would not be in a perfect body. A body with no wrinkles. A body with no gray hair. That's not what it is. But in this frail body, in a body of weakness, the reality of God's Word for this hour has been made flesh. It's Jesus I want to see. Look around you. He's sitting right beside you. Because He's here. He's here in the promise of His Word. The only thing you have to do, the only thing you have to do is have faith in what you are. Have faith in what the Word says you are. Preacher, how can I have faith in what the Word says I am unless the Word says I am? How can I have faith in the Word if the Word don't speak of me? Sam Walton, one of the richest men in America. My wife helped make him rich. We all made him rich. My God, looks like we could go to Kmart every once in a while. But Sam Walton died. He's one of the richest men in the world. Made his children mega, mega, mega millionaires. They got more zeros than I got shoes. And when he died, he had enough money. Sam Walton had enough money. Every one of us here could have went to the reading of the will. He could have gave Brother Terry, every one of us. He could have gave every one of us some money. And his kids would have still been rich. But I didn't go to the reading of the will. You didn't either, did you? Wasn't because he didn't have enough money. Well, I would go, but you know, he ain't got enough money, so he ain't no use to go because he ain't got nothing he can give me. That wasn't why I didn't go. Oh no, he had plenty to give me. He could give me $1,000 and I'd been a lot richer, you know, as far as that goes. But why didn't I go to the reading of the will? Because there was nothing. When they opened his will, it had been sealed. His will had been sealed. But at his death, the will was revealed. And at the opening of the will, at the opening of the word, then what his children were and what they were to receive was made known by the opening. His thoughts concerning his children was made known by the opening of the book. But I didn't go to that because that had nothing to do with me. But why am I here this morning? Because this book, the will of my Father, has been opened. Hallelujah. And there's things in this will that pertains to me. I didn't go to Sam Walton's will because I'm not Sam Walton's heir. Sam Walton's kids ain't here this morning.
What? Brother? Yes, sir.
But I see my brothers and sisters showed up. Jesus had faith in what he was. He had faith in what he was. Notice, he goes into the temple on the Sabbath day. Luke 4 is where we're at. And he stands up to read. And the priest hands him a book of the prophet Isaiah. And Jesus said, well, you know, play something, Harry. Well, didn't know I was going to speak this morning. Harry, play that song again, Harry. Let me see if I can. Gosh, I hadn't even read my Bible this week. And I don't know. Let me see if I can find something right fast. Now, y'all sing something. We'll get with it. Here's a. But they handed him the book. And he opened the book. And the Bible said he found the place it was written. He found the place it was written concerning himself. Notice. He did not go to Isaiah 9:6, a virgin shall conceive, because that had already took place. He did not turn to Isaiah 53, wounded for our transgressions. That was a future event. But he turned to Isaiah 60 or 61, I believe it is. He turned there in the scriptures. He found the place it was writ, and he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to open blinded eyes, to set the captive free. He felt where the very word for the very moment in time was being made flesh. He felt the very second in time that that scripture was made flesh. He took the prophet's message and made it a reality in flesh. And he closed the book and he handed it to the priest and he sat down. And the Bible said all the eyes of the people was upon him.
Amen.
When you see where Christ really is, you ain't looking for something else.
Glory to God. Amen.
Ain't enough seats on that airplane for all of us anyway.
Oh my.
He looked at the eyes of the people was upon him. And he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. This day, the prophet's message has been made flesh and stands among you. He knew. So what are you trying to say? This. He knew who he was in the Word.
Amen.
He knew, Brother Gene, that Isaiah was speaking of him. And he went right to what Isaiah said about him and read it to the people and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Do you know, Brother Brandon said, Jesus never healed the sick to show his power.
Right.
He healed the sick to fulfill the scriptures.
Amen.
Oh God, do you hear that?
Hallelujah.
He healed the sick. Why do we lay hands on the sick, Brother Greg? Why do we say people come up and we lay hands on the sick? Why? Not to show everybody who we are. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I'll get Brother David Sidepratt, boy, is anointed. When he prays, man, something happens. That's not what it is.
Right.
Brother Terry, ain't nobody like Brother Terry. I'll just wait till Brother Terry's there. Get him. That's not what it is.
Amen.
It's not to show our power. But we do it, Brother Terry, to fulfill scriptures. Because the word says, they shall lay their hands. Oh God. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall get well. He never healed the sick to fulfill scripture. To show his power. He healed the sick to fulfill scripture. Notice him. Satan took him up on the temple. Said, I'll give you. Brother Ben said, show him all the kingdoms of the world. Said, I'll give all of them to you if you'll bow down and worship me. But Jesus never clowned. Jesus said, I do the will of my Father. I do the will of my Father. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He never clowned for Satan. He only did the Father's will. He said, I came to do the will of he who sent me. When he was 12 years old, his mother said, your father and I have sought you with tears. He said, know ye not, I must be about my Father's business. But Rev said, we find him here, never out gadding about the nonsense and everything. He was always about the Father's will. He was always about the Father's business. I do nothing till the Father shows me first. All the Father shows me, that will I do. For I have come to do my Father's will. If you don't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify of who I am. Now remember last night how we seen that Satan's desire is to take his thoughts and actually exalt his thoughts above the Word of God. And we see that Satan will come in the battleground of our minds trying to pull us away from the Word. Then we looked at Job and we saw how that Job's wife actually yielded She actually yielded to Satan's desire and spoke Satan's thoughts to her husband to try to pull him off the word. Huh? You brothers don't feel hard at your wives. He do you the same way against your wife.
Amen.
Go for it. So we seen last night how that sometimes it's more effective if it's someone around us that Satan can project the thought to, and then they can get you to listen to them. Ain't that something? Now the Bible says in Romans 6:13, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, if you look that word instruments up, it means weapons of warfare. Yield not your weapons to the enemy. Don't let him use your eyes or your mouth. Now watch. Satan sometimes will get around those we love the most to try to pull us off our position. Are you listening to me? We must be very careful what we feed on. Now watch. In Matthew 16, once again, I'll read it, save time. When Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, why would Jesus ask his disciples this question after all the miracles and the things that had took place and his ministry and all that was going on and the crowds and the multitudes and demons come flying out and all the things that happened? Why, Brother Terry, would he turn to his disciples and say, who do they say I am? And they say, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Others say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They think you're a prophet. And Jesus said, but whom say ye?
Amen.
I am. And Simon, you know, Simon Peter. Peter's just always quick on the trigger, you know. And I can just see, you know, Jesus said, I can just see Peter jump up. Probably wiry head, you know, just jump up. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Peter and I went, whew. Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. Where did that thought come from? Pretty good for an ignorant fisherman that couldn't even sign his own name, who fished half the time naked. Pretty good for a fisher boy. Hello? But Jesus tells us where the thought came from. Because Peter yielded his instruments to the knowledge of God concerning Christ. And when Peter spoke, he spoke God's thoughts concerning Jesus. Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon, son of Barjonas, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven has shared this knowledge with you. Huh? And I say unto you, You tell me who I am, I'm going to tell you who you are. Thou art Peter. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Did Jesus keep his word? Did he keep his word to Peter? Then he'll keep his word to us. Whatever you bind in heaven will be bound on earth. Whatever you shall loose in heaven shall be loosed on earth. Now watch. I'm coming into what we want to look at now. Watch now. Why would he ask that, Brother Terry? Why would Jesus ask that? Now, he's never mentioned it up to this time. But now he begins to tell his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and how that he must suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and how he must be killed and how he will raise again on the third day. He never mentioned it up to this time because it wasn't the hour. But as the hour began to approach, it began to weigh on him. He began to think. And he says, who do y'all say I am?
Amen. Think about it.
You know, sometimes we know the answer. But we just like to hear it. You know you're loved. But sometimes it's just good to hear it. Hello? He began to tell them, I am going to suffer. I'm going to die. And I'm going to raise again. And Peter, in verse 22, he rebuked Jesus. After he had just said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he turned right around and rebuked Jesus. He said, that ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. They will not do you that way, Jesus. You are my friend. I won't let them do you that way. Do you see what I'm saying? It was Peter's love for Jesus. It was his love. When he began to understand, Jesus was telling him, I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. Peter was overwhelmed. I love this man. He's my brother. We've hunted together. We've fished together. We've labored together. We've been in meetings together. I can't let this happen. I can't let this. No. No, Jesus. That will not happen. They will not do you that way. I've got a sword. They won't do you that way. Satan used Peter's love for his brother. And Peter, speaking from that rail of love, spoke contrary to the will of the Father. And he rebuked Jesus and said, that will not happen. But Jesus, oh God, what a man. I wish I could be like Jesus. Look at Jesus. He turned and he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that of God, but the things that are of men. Jesus, to take it personal, he realized that the same Peter that yielded to the mind of God had now yielded to the mind of Satan. And Satan was using Peter's instrument. He was using Peter's instrument. He was using Peter's feelings to try to convince Jesus, to try to make Jesus think, well, you know, maybe I won't have to do it. But Jesus said, I rebuke you, Satan. You're an offense to me. Because you savor not the things that are of God.
Think about it.
Now we come to our scriptures. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew the hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. Having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them to the end. And he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now watch. The anointing left him. He did not go into that garden as an anointed Messiah with a supernatural glow and a power and fire of God around him. But he went into the Garden of Gethsemane as a man. Because the Bible says, Brother Calvin, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He goes there as a man. God help me. And he takes Peter and James and John because perhaps he just felt closer to them. And he takes them with him. He says, watch. And the Bible says he goes a stone throw. Didn't you? Why would it say that? Why would the Bible want us to know how far Jesus went? It's as though, you know, he wanted to be alone to pray. But yet he didn't want to leave them either. So it's like he just kind of went just over here a little bit so that he could still maybe see them. And now the wait, Brother Buzz, of the hour is fully upon him. The Bible says he goes about a stone throw. He becomes very sorrowful. Because he realized the hour was here. This, the whole thing, everything hinged on this moment. This hour. And he goes. And his emotions. And the weight of all. Because remember, he saw crucifixion all his life. Him being the Word knew all things. And he goes. He becomes so grieved. No more walking on water. No more breaking bread. The hour is here. Notice what it is. Father, you who created the sun by your words. You hung the moon and it still hangs. You who can do all things. If there be any way.
Yes.
Don't make me take this cup. Or the said, the Lamb of God was wounded for their transgressions, bruised for their iniquity. The Word of God says, by His stripes they will be healed. It's Friday. He's sweating it out in the garden. The Word said, He is these things. The Word says, He is the Lamb. The mediator between God and man. And in the garden, the thoughts of God's Word, He sweats it out. God, oh God, that's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. The Word says, I'm the one. The Word says, do not suffer a holy one to see corruption. The Word says, you raise me up. And then the devil began to project his thoughts. Just like he does you. The Word says, do you think? Do you really think it's fair that you should pay this price for everybody's sins? You who knew no sin, is it really fair that you should suffer? Is it really fair? You've seen crucifixion, but have you ever felt it? Have you ever felt the nails being driven into your hands? Do you think they'll even care? They'll find every reason in the world to keep from coming to church on Sunday morning. Do you think they'll even care that you would sweat it out in this garden? Do you think that they would even care that you would be willing to sacrifice yourself to help them? It's Friday. But I am the Lamb of God. It was for this cause that I was born. I must do my Father's will. And he gets up and goes to Peter. Can you imagine, friends? Can you imagine? He knew he was going to die. He knew they was going to do him this way. And he goes to Peter. He says, Peter! Peter! Wake up! Sorry, I was up late last night. I kind of drifted off from church, Lord. I'm sorry. He loved his disciples. He loved life. God gave him life like God gave you life. Yeah.
And he goes a little further. And he falls down again. Oh God. Oh God, help me, Lord. If there be any other way, Lord, please. Don't make me drink this cup. Jesus, in his weakest moment of his life, yes, the only place in the Bible that you ever even hear his will ever mentioned, he said, Father, not my will, thy will be done. He took what the word said. Over his own emotions. He denied himself to do the will of the Father to fulfill what the Word said he was. Satan said, it's too much. God requires too much of you. It's too much. That one man should die. Fulfill Scripture. Do you know? Do you know what they will do to you? Do you not know they are going to drain every drop of blood from your body? Do you not know they will beat you until your face is not even recognized as a human being? Do you understand that, Jesus? Where's your anointing at now? Where's your disciples? They're sleeping. They couldn't even make it to church today.
That's him, brother.
Where's your friends at? When you really need them, where are they at? You think anyone cares? You're out here sweating this out. You think anyone cares at all? But it's written. It's written. For this cause was I born. My man said, even God came down in the garden. And he said, Gabriel with his great sword rested up on a rock. And wormwood came down and rested up on a rock. And that light, the Logos of God, hanging over his head, the self-existing one. And God said, do you want to go through with this, son? The angels are listening. What's going to be the result? The whole world lays upon your shoulders. Do you want to pay the price? Do you want to pay the price? What do you want to do? You can come right now without death. I'll take you right now. A conference with God, Brother G. That God would say, I'll take you right now. They'll spit in your face. They'll humiliate you. They'll rip your clothes from your body. They'll beat you to a pulp. Like a bunch of raven wolves. They'll mock you and they'll laugh at you. and all your bones will be out of joint. But I will take you right now. Jesus, if I go right now, what about Daryl? What about Terry? What about Susan? What about Larry? If I go, I can't help them. It's right. It's right. But Jesus projected and looked forward to Friday. It's Friday.
Friday. That's all right.
But Sunday's coming. The soldier's laughing. The soldier's mocking. The soldier's spitting. It's Friday. But Sunday's coming. Crying in the garden till his sweat turned to blood. Forsaken by his disciples. Forsaken by God. Forsaken by man. Even the sun turned his back on him. The sun refused to shine on Friday. The moon refused to shine. It was Friday, but Sunday's coming. Mary crying. Peter denying. The crowd's mocking. The whip cracking, the blood spilling, the pain agonizing, the suffering, the shame, the pain, the sorrow, the cross, the darkness, the rejection, the whip. It's Friday. Looks like the world's winning. Looks like Satan's winning. Looks like everything is failing. The disciples are scattering. Everything's going wrong. Everything's in chaos. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. It looks bad. It looks bad. It looks terrible. We think about it. It makes me cry. I was sitting this morning crying. I was in bed last night. I got to thinking about it. I began to weep when I thought about Jesus there in the garden. Suffering like that. Crying like that. The Bible said he was heard in that he feared. He feared. And he went to his disciples for help. And they were asleep. And I thought, it's Friday. Sunday's coming. I tell you, friends. You've had your pain. You've had your suffering. Sister Natalie, you've had your sickness. We've buried our loved ones. We've had our sorrow. We've had our pain. We've had our battles. We've had our failures. We've had our disappointments. Go, friends. We've had hard times. We've had good times. We've seen victories. We've seen defeat. We've seen the darkness of this age, the filth of this age, the rage of this age, the disease of this age. We've seen the horribleness of this age, the darkness of this age. Nobody wants to come to church no more, it seems like. Nobody wants to get involved no more. Nobody wants to pray no more. Nobody wants to read the Bible no more. We've had our Friday. You've had your Friday. You're in your Friday. You've had your pain. You've had your suffering. But I say to you this morning, it may be your Friday, but I want you to know Sunday's not coming. It's here. It's here. It's here. He is risen. He is risen. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's Sunday! It's Sunday! It's Sunday! It's Sunday!
Sunday. Our pain, our sorrow, our trouble has been defeated by the blood of Christ, who did the will of the Father. And I say to you this morning, we are free. No more tears in the garden. No more pain in the garden. It's here, Brother Harry. The word's been made known. The word's been revealed. God has opened his mind unto us and has declared unto us this morning, you are my bride. You was in me before the foundation of the world. We do not survive Laodicea. We overcome this age. Satan's hell house, Satan's prison house of pain has been broke. Satan's hold has been broke. Satan, go for it. He's defeated. He tried to talk Jesus out of it. He tried to talk him out of it. He tried his best to stop him. But Jesus looked into the Word and saw who he was and fulfilled the Word so that you and I can stand here this morning and say, I am the evidence that Calvary was a success. Sunday's not coming. It's here. I'm not going to be Brother Wyco. I am now. Do you love him this morning? Can you imagine Barabbas sweating it out in that prison? Knowing that's coming to get him. But we're talking about Oswald. Said, you imagine Oswald sweating it out. The blood of the President of the United States on his hands. Sweating it out. Waiting judgment. Barabbas waiting. Waiting to be crucified. Waiting to pay for all of his sin. All of his crimes. But Reverend said he had all night to think about it. Said, that's well. Yeah, these young boys, they want to be gangsters. Walk around with their britches hanging off their hips. They want to be tough. Get him a tattoo. But you ain't no match for the devil. He'll use you like a rag doll. Yeah, Barabbas was tough now, wasn't he? The tough Barabbas. The man that his name put fear in everybody's hearts. But now Brother Ben said he's sweating it out. So he lay on the floor crying, whimpering like a baby. Because he hears them coming. Here comes the soldiers. Barabbas knowing. Death is waiting for him. Cross is waiting on him. Yeah. Here they come. Oh God. Oh God. This is it. This is it. This is it. Oh God. I don't want to go. I don't want to go out there. I don't want to go out there. Jesus Barabbas! For crimes against Rome. Guilty of murder. Rape. Thievery. Order of Rome. Oh God. Oh God, this is it. This is it. By order of Rome. You are free. But I've done those things. I've done those things. You're free. It's a trick. You want me to run so you can stab me and tell everybody, I killed Barabbas. No trick, Barabbas.
case you're wondering here this morning, no tricks. No rabbits out of the hat. Not trying to work on your emotion, get you to shout, and then you think you're healed because you're shouting. No trickery.
No.
Trying to get you to believe. It's a trick. It's a no trick. You're free. How could this be? Look through that window. See that man hanging there on the cross? See that blood pouring out of his body? See the spit hanging off of his face? See the crowd laughing at him? That was your cross. He took your place. You're free, Barabbas. Go on. Get your stuff. Go on. He took your place. I say to you this morning, Sunday's not coming. It's here.
Sure is. Come on.
Look through the same window Barabbas looked through. He took your place. Satan had his brother Terry locked in prison house. Young girls locked in prison houses of bulimia where they eat their food and throw it up. Where they take razor blades and cut their own body, try to relieve pain from a failure in their home. Holds young girls in prison houses, these model magazines and how they have to look like that.
Right.
And he holds them in prison houses. Young men in prison houses of drugs.
Right.
Crack, meth, cocaine. Go on, friends.
Yes, sir.
Satan love to lock us up to where we can't do nothing but look through bars. But when Jesus cried there on the cross, it is finished. Every prison door of Satan. And I say to you this morning, you're free. Now, how many sickers among us here this day? High blood pressure, arthritis, back trouble, marital trouble, financial trouble, lust trouble, pride trouble, anger trouble, backslid trouble. Anybody here like that this morning? If you are, I say to you this morning, we've had our Friday. But Sunday is here, and the prison doors are open, and if thou can believe this morning, you can go free. Well, Brother Earl, will I feel anything? Maybe. But what if you don't? What's that got to do with it? Praise God. Do you love him this morning? It's our Sunday. It's our Easter. He's alive. He's alive. He's right here with us now. And the Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now lay your hands on one another. You there at home, lay your hands on each other.
Hallelujah.
You've had your Friday, friend. But it's Sunday. Almighty God, who raised Christ from the grave, sent the promise of the Holy Ghost into our hearts. We stand here this morning as a redeemed people. The prison houses of our enemy. His locks have been broken. And we are free people this morning. Abraham Lincoln proclaimed a proclamation to free the slaves out of the South. But, oh Lord God, that day at Calvary, you freed us from the bondage of our enemy and restored us to our rightful position as sons and daughters of God, given us the authority to fulfill the word that's been spoken of us in this hour. And we come against our enemy today in a great warfare, but we come armed with the word of God. We come ready today, and in the name of Jesus, we lay our hands upon one another. And Satan, we declare to you today, you are defeated in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of the people this man. Come out of them, Satan. Loose them in the name of Jesus Christ. You are an offense to us. Get thee behind us. We are free. In the name of Jesus, we lay our hands upon one another and we claim the victory this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, there's no greater. Oh, Jesus. Say it, Brother Harry. Let's worship him now. Cast it down. It's your Sunday. It's Sunday. It's Sunday. We're free. The sun is up. The dawning of the new day.
There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. There's no one greater than Jesus. Oh, sweet Jesus. I was so bound up. My life was so tired of, no peace within. Chains could not hold me, confused so lonely, so shackled with sin. The other side of the sea, his eyes of compassion, they're piercing through me. Oh, Legion, you've had me bound so long, but my morning has broken. I sing victory.
For my multiple relation,
Singing that song. I remember. I was in a hospital waiting room. They told me that my daughter could not live. The doctors that worked on her were friends of mine. Mark said, "Daryl, I'm so sorry it's your daughter." I said, "Mark, how bad is she?" He said, "I'm sorry. She's hurt too bad to live. I'm so sorry. But she will not make it." And he was singing that song. I can remember how shackled I was by fear. How scared I was. Because that was my baby. And I was going to lose her. Homer was dead. Rachel was dead. Our family was torn all to pieces. And he was telling me, "Jessica will die too. She's thrown 60 foot from the car. She suffered a massive brain injury. It swelled, pinched off the blood supply. The whole back part of her brain is stroked. She's nothing. But he was singing. Brother Harry was singing. I got to remember it. How shackled I was in fear. How in that weight room. I was crying out to God. But I remember. He came to me. It was a warm feeling that come over me. He came to me. Just like the song said. Said to me these words, "Your daughter shall live." She started getting well. And then the devil said, "Yeah, she'll live. But look at her. She can't even swallow. The saliva ran out of her mouth till her hair stayed wet. Her pillow was wet. Me and Cheryl constantly trying to wipe the saliva off because she couldn't swallow. Her brain was so damaged. She was blinded. The devil said, "Yeah, she's going to live, but what do you got? Got nothing but an animal. Nothing but just laying there." But there's no one greater than Jesus. And the Word of God said that He was a lamb provided, Brother Linuel, for the healing of my daughter. And I started going through the Word, and I started reading Isaiah 53, and I started telling her every day, you will see again, you will walk again, you will come back to me, for God hath provided a lamb for your eyes. I've had my Friday, Brother Terry. You've had your Friday with your wife. Other of you, you've had your Fridays. But I stand here this morning for you that are in pain. Maybe you that are feeling like there's no hope for you. I stand here as a witness today. I stand here to tell you, Sunday is here. Sunday is here. God opens blinded eyes. There's no one greater than Jesus. You're here this morning. Or you've got someone here this morning that is bound by a demon of drugs. I want you to take hope this morning that Jesus can cross that dark sea. He can come to that boy in that hospital room. He can come to that girl. He can come to that daughter. Come over it! I got a text last night. Some young girl down at the count tried to cut her wrist last night or something. But He can come to those in despair. He can come to those who feel like there's no hope. He can come to those who feel like they're not loved. He can come to those in pain. He can come this morning if you can believe Him. If you'll step out of it this morning and confess Him and claim Him, we can be free. Because there is no one greater. Jesus. Do you love Him? God bless you. You're so real. You're so real. He was singing that. It just come back to me, so real. I remember. I remember Him coming. It's just a warm feeling. It's just a small voice. It said, your daughter shall live. And I say to you this morning, because He lives, we can live also. God bless you. Happy Easter. Thank you for your prayers. I don't know what I'll be in the morning, but I think I shouted my back in place. I love y'all. I love you all. I've been coming to this church since I was a little boy. I look forward to the day that we reign forever together. May God richly bless you. We'll pray for those Brother Harry sing, and they will be dismissed.
Help me sing this, Brother Richard, if you can find it. The sun was hot, an angry mob gathered by the great stone building. As a man dressed in velvet with a curly black beard stepped out on his balcony, nervously washing his hands to rid him of the blood Pilate never washed away. His wrinkled brow showed the worried line. I heard Pilate say, I can find no fault in this Lamb called Jesus, the healer from the shores of Galilee. I command you to ask Him to let Him go free. Don't make me take His blood to the grave. Nervously washing His hands to rid Him of the blood He never washed away. The mob
shook, the veil was rent as a sinless Christ was slain, and it was midnight in the middle of the day. The road across the rumbling mountain, lightning burned like a fire across the sea. And doors were barred, all the windows fastened down. Spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us out. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the windows, looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches, and the sound of soldiers. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me, and she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on. Stone in the empty tomb, just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. How where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. 'Cause I'd seen them crucify him. Then I saw him die. At the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. Even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. But suddenly the air was filled with strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere, drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. Raised me to my feet as I looked into his eyes. Love came shining out from him like sunlight from the sky. Guilt to my confusion disappeared in sweet release. Every fear I had ever had just melted into peace. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. To open wide, he's alive. He is alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. Got it all in control. He's got it all in control. He's put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in his hand. I put my life in his hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in his plan. I put my life in his hand. He's got it all in control. got it all in control. He put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control. I put my life in His hand. I put my life in my Father's hand. Every road I walk down, I'm sure is in His plan. I put my life in His hand. He's got it all in control. He's got it all in control. Put that reassurance way down in my soul. He's got it all in control.